gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the carefully thought-out plan of free speech, because we think exactly what we're going to talk about, and we say it with a dash of freedom. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. Where, you might ask? We'll send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And today with us, after an absence last week, we have Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be back. It's good to be back, and I'll apologize for last week's absence. I was away, as some of you will know, and some of you might not know, because I was in court each day with a good friend of mine, Sam Melia. He's also a member of Patriotic Alternative, and he was defending, well, he was the defendant in a court case because he had been charged with two different crimes in the UK. He'd been charged with, firstly, publishing or distributing material intending to stir up racial hatred, and secondly, he was charged with another crime, encouraging or assisting the commission of the offence of racially aggravated criminal damage. So he was charged with those two crimes, quote-unquote crimes, and he was on trial, and then the actual case took the best part of 2 weeks, but it wrapped up last Wednesday. So I am back now because I'm no longer in court. But as many of you will have heard, it didn't go the way we hoped for. He was found guilty on both charges by a jury. And this is something that I have basically believed to be possibly, or one of the greatest miscarriages of justice I have ever witnessed. And it could set a very, very dangerous legal precedent, which will lead to a complete loss of liberties for people living in England and Wales.
So, Sam, is he somebody that people would have known of? Is he somebody who is active in the media, or is he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is. He's a high-profile activist here in the UK, and he had produced a set of stickers, which under the name 100 Handers. And these stickers were stickers that people could print off. They were stickers that people could produce at home and then use by sticking them up anywhere. And he was found guilty of producing these stickers, which the court felt were intended to stir up, or he was intending to stir up racial hatred when he produced them. And that's all quite interesting, because the stickers were very, very normal, and they included slogans like "Reject white guilt," "It's okay to be white," "We will be a minority in our homeland by 2066," "White lives matter," "Stop anti-white rape gangs," and "Love your nation." In total, there were 310 stickers, and it was a real eye-opener for me, because obviously I've been involved in court cases before, but as I said, I believe this to be the greatest miscarriage of justice we've ever seen in this country, because the prosecution admitted three things as they opened the trial. The first thing they admitted was that the stickers were lawful. Now, that might seem like an incredible admission, and I believe it to be one. They admitted that the stickers themselves were lawful. They were not illegal. None of the wording on the stickers themselves broke the law. So that's very interesting. The second thing that the court was told is that the prosecution didn't have to prove that the words or phrases on said stickers were untrue. And the court were reminded that in cases like this relating to alleged incitement of racial hatred, what the court has to decide is whether those stickers were intended to stir up racial hatred, not if they're true or not. So the next thing we were reminded, or the court was reminded, is that the truth is no defense in cases like this. And finally, the next stunning admission put before the court was that the police, under cross-examination, admitted that no crime had ever been recorded or committed as a result of somebody reading these stickers. So there was never a case of somebody going out, seeing one of these stickers, reading it, and committing a criminal act. And no one who had been committing a criminal act had ever had one of these stickers in their possession either. So it was more or less proved that these stickers have never stirred up any act of violence or hostility towards, you know, an ethnic or religious minority.
Okay. So one question is, this was a jury trial, and I assume you have 12 members of the jury. Who is on the jury? What kind of people?
Well, the jury was a composition as follows. There were 9 men and 3 women. The 9 men were 6 white men and 3 men of migrant descent. And the women were all white. So that was the jury composition. The jury composition was overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly male. And that might be a little bit of a head scratcher for some people, because some people might be like, well, how did this happen? And we genuinely don't know, because the interesting thing in this case is the jury had to prove intent. They had to prove that Sam was intending to stir up racial hatred. So their case was essentially that Sam produced what they admitted was a lawful set of stickers, and although they were lawful, his intention when producing and distributing them was to stir up racial hatred. So that might be a little bit of a head scratcher for a lot of people initially, because they'll be thinking, well, you know, they've said that the stickers were lawful, so how can it be a criminal act? Well, what they're moving towards now is a system whereby they say, well, you know, what you're saying is technically legal, but you're doing it for illegal reasons, which I think is a very, very dangerous and damaging precedent to set. So bearing that in mind, what we're actually starting to see is the complete criminalization of speech that the state actually deems to be legal. So the state can't really arrest you for the stickers themselves, because the stickers themselves are not illegal. But the state can arrest you for, well, on the basis that you intended that with those legal stickers, you would stir up racial hatred. So this is very damaging. And the court case then obviously came down to intention, to intent. And that is something that's quite difficult to prove. And all of the evidence put before the court by the prosecution actually showed that they didn't have a single message. Now, when I say message, they went through all of Sam's devices and they recovered messages, public and private, that went back over a 4 or 5 year period. And every single public or private statement he made on these stickers clearly stated that he believed that these stickers were going up because he wanted to create a conversation, because he wanted to campaign politically. And there were several major instances of him, you know, publicly and privately stating, you know, do not put these stickers up in contentious places. You know, don't put any of these stickers up in places where it might cause, you know, alarm or distress or might be controversial. So, you know, don't go and stick them to the door of your local mosque. You know, don't go and put them on a corner shop window or anything like that. And he actually went to quite extreme lengths when he produced these stickers. He actually had a code of conduct that went alongside these stickers, And the code of conduct was actually quite interesting, because it did warn people that when using these stickers, use them responsibly, use them lawfully, don't put them on people's private property, you know, don't go and put them on somebody's shop or somebody's religious building, you know, use these things, you know, responsibly. And he also did several public media interviews where he said the same thing. And you might say, or you'd think the court might say, well, this was his public face, you know, he's bound to say this publicly, but privately, was he saying something different? But every single private message that related to these stickers was exactly the same. It was basically him saying to people, you know, don't put these up in daft places, don't go and do something silly with them, you know, don't put them out in a place where it might create controversy, you know, be, you know, use your common sense and use them lawfully. What's more, he regularly reviewed his sticker archive, and he had what was called a change log as part of the sticker archive. And the change log was a series of changes that got made to the stickers over time, because he regularly updated them, added new pictures, added new stickers to the archive. And in this change log, Sam had actually withdrawn at least one sticker from the online archive on the basis that he felt that sticker hadn't aged well and potentially, you know, could have been problematic. So you could actually see from the evidence that the jury was presented that Sam had gone to these quite extreme lengths to ensure that he was within the law. So you're obviously going to ask yourself, if he went to all of this trouble to stay within the law, and if the prosecution presented all this evidence showing him staying within the law, how on earth did this man get found guilty? Well, that's the interesting thing. You see, the English justice system used to be very, very fair indeed, and there were several checks and balances put in place to defend people's rights. And one of those checks and balances related to what was known as prejudicial evidence. Now, prejudicial evidence was evidence put before a jury that might prejudice them against a defendant. And I'll give you an example of prejudicial evidence. So if you had been arrested for and charged with the offence of house burglary, you had to be tried on that crime alone and the evidence relating to that crime alone. So you couldn't have anything put before the jury that prejudiced the jury against you. So let's say you were charged with house burglary and you were on trial for house burglary. If you'd have committed 12 previous offences of house burglary and been found guilty of them all, the prosecution couldn't bring that up in court. The prosecution could not bring up previous offences, because if they did, it might prejudice the jury. And you might have committed 12 previous offences of house burglary, but did you commit this particular offence? And that's what you'd be tried on. Because if you say to the jury, well, look, this guy's up for house burglary and he's done it 12 times before, well, they're immediately going to be like, well, he probably did this as well. So there was all of these checks and balances put in place to defend the rights of people and to ensure that people were viewed as innocent until proven guilty. And that's the important part of the English legal system. You don't go in there to prove your innocence. The prosecution has to prove your guilt. And in this case, Sam, under these new laws where prejudicial evidence is allowed, because this is the rub, prejudicial evidence is now allowed, Sam was treated very much as a guilty man. And Sam went into the court, and instead of having to defend himself on facts relating to this case, he had to defend himself on a huge number of pieces of evidence taken off his devices, taken out of private messages, jokes that he'd said, the fact that he had, in 4 to 5 years of private messages, he had used 4 racial slurs. So he'd used racial slurs on 4 different occasions on, you know, in private messages. That was brought before the court. And basically, what you started to see during this trial is the trial was not about evidence relating to the case. The trial was about series after series of prejudicial evidence used to paint Sam as this absolute monster.
Why was the prosecution allowed to use prejudicial evidence now? Has there been some change in the legal
system? Been a change in the law. This is the point. So at one point, so English law was built on the foundation that men were innocent. And there's a famous quote by a man called Sir William Blackstone, and this quote more or less underlines the English legal system and why it used to be the fairest in the world. And the quote is, "It is better that 10 guilty escape than one innocent suffer," because the English justice system was not created to put people in jail. It was created to bring about justice. Now, the English justice system, as it used to be called, is not about justice. It's about finding people guilty. So if X many crimes are committed and they result in, you know, X many arrests, what the government wants to show is a highest conviction rate possible. So the government's ideal is 100% conviction rate, is that every single person who gets arrested for a crime goes to jail. And then they can say to the public, we have improved our conviction rate from, you know, 40% to 90%. We've got a 90% conviction rate. So our police are so wonderful that there was 210 crimes last year in this one area. And, you know, 240 people were arrested. And of those 240, 220 people went to jail. What a wonderful world we live in. You know, we're pushing on towards this incredible world of 100% convictions. And that is where they're going with this. That is why, fundamentally, many of the protections that they used to be in English law, and there are a number of protections like no prejudicial evidence, jury selection, unanimous verdicts, and double jeopardy, all of those rules have been withdrawn from the English legal system. And all of this, you know, goes toward making the system not a system of innocent until guilty, but a system where people can stand in front of a jury and essentially be completely insulted, attacked, and ripped to shreds by an extremely intelligent and well-paid barrister. And they have to stand there in front of a jury and debate that barrister. The barrister has nothing to lose, but the defendant has everything to lose. And instead of having those checks and balances that used to exist, that used to protect the everyman from, you know, the sneaky barrister, they've gone. They've gone now. And when I say sneaky barrister, what I mean by that is Sam's a normal guy. He's a normal guy. He's an everyday run-of-the-mill fella, right? Everyday run-of-the-mill fella. And he's a guy that fits signs for a living. He's not a guy that goes out there, you know, debating people. He's not, you know, he's not on the debating scene. He's not a guy that is known for giving, like, you know, intellectual speeches or anything like that. He's a normal guy. So when he goes up against one of these prosecutors, he's essentially debating for his life with an extremely intelligent, university-educated man. And when I say university-educated, a man that's probably spent, you know, I would say, you know, 5 years or more, you know, in educational institutions of the highest level. Then this man will have been trained, you know, at a, you know, at a legal institution which is employing him. He'll be trained further.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Educational institutions of the highest level, then this man will have been trained, you know, at a, you know, at a legal institution which is employing him. He'll be trained further. And finally, this will give that man a complete and utter advantage over the everyman. So it's akin to us to putting a man who's never thrown a punch in a boxing ring with Mike Tyson. It's very, very unfair, very unfair. And it's not something that's nice to see. So there used to be all these checks and balances to restore order and to ensure it wasn't completely tilted against the defendant. But when you remove all those checks and balances, it becomes completely, completely tilted against the defendant. So now when a defendant goes up, it's a scramble for them to prove they're not guilty, rather than, you know, what it used to be, which is an attempt by the prosecution to, you know, to prove guilt. And that's the wrong way round. So it's not really justice anymore. And it can't really be called a justice system. It's still a legal system of sorts, but it's not about justice. And not only did they use prejudicial evidence, but they also had an absolutely terrible, terrible expert witness. Now, this expert witness is, or was, or is somebody who writes for far left publications. He is a far left activist, and they brought him before the court and presented his thoughts on nationalists as expert testimony, as something that the jury should view as expert testimony. So then you start having words thrown around that are completely meaningless, such as extreme right. You know, he's an extreme right wing activist. And once you start using terms like extreme, and you're, and this guy defines extreme himself, he doesn't use the dictionary definition. He's an expert, so he can come up with his own definitions. And his definition of extreme right wing is somebody who rejects democracy and somebody who instead promotes or endorses law breaking or violence. Now, Sam is somebody who absolutely doesn't embrace those things. Sam's actually somebody who stood in elections. Sam engages in the democratic process by means of protest, by producing these stickers, by leafleting, by talking to people. But when asked, when the expert witness was asked, well, you've said all these groups are extreme right-wing groups, including a number of political parties like the BNP, like the AfD in Germany, like the Front National in France. This man just turned around and said, well, some groups who are extreme groups will participate in democracy as a cover for wanting to destroy it. And that was his only answer. So at this point, you literally can't win. At this point, you're extreme right, whether you actually conform to the definition of extreme right. So at this point, it's very unfair. You know, the trial is then extremely unfair. It's weighted against you. You've got this expert activist witness who then went on to reinterpret the stickers. So the stickers read things like, you know, rebel against modernity, embrace traditionalism. And the expert witness argued that this wasn't traditionalism in the way that the public would understand it. It was Julius Evola's definition of traditionalism, which was his fascist utopia. And all of a sudden, everything that you were hearing was a twisting of the truth, a complete and utter misrepresentation of what the stickers actually said, because the stickers were all written in plain English to appeal to people in a plain and understandable way. And it for my money, made everything rather unfair. And it puts everybody in the UK now at great risk, because if you're saying you can be completely lawful and stay within the boundaries of, you know, of the law as we know it, but you can still be found guilty, well, at that point, it becomes really a system of complete and utter tyranny. Because how can you defend yourself? How can you defend yourself in that situation? Oh, well, I stayed within the law, Your Honour. Yes, you did. I went to great lengths to tell people to stay within the law. Yes, you did. There's no evidence of me ever inciting anyone to break the law. True, that is correct. Okay, can I go, Your Honour? No, because the court believes that despite all that wealth of evidence backing up everything you said and us not having any genuine evidence against you, unfortunately, these people that sit in front of you believe without evidence that your motivations were inciting racial hatred. Not all the things that you publicly and privately said they were, not all the evidence that, you know, has been presented to them, that they're basically pushing that to one side, but they all believe that basically you're the bad guy. And because they believe you're the bad guy, unfortunately, you're going to jail. And that is where we are now as a country. That is where we are now as a country. And it's what I call, before you ask me a question, I'll just say this. It's what I call X Factor justice. Now, X Factor is a program on UK TV. You might also have it in America.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Kirat Atman,
says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Sayonara, Lopato Kamisaki.
As a country, that is where we are now as a country. And it's what I call, before you ask your question, I'll just say this. It's what I call X Factor Justice. Now, X Factor is a program on UK TV. You might also have it in America. But X Factor is a program where it's essentially a singing contest. It's essentially a contest where people go and sing. So why am I saying it's X Factor Justice? Well, X Factor isn't really about who sings the best. It is a little bit. You know, yeah, I can't say you don't go up there and, you know, you don't have people going up there who can't sing at all. But X Factor Justice is an expression used because in X Factor, it's not about just how well you sing. The best singer doesn't always win the competition. Well, why doesn't the best singer always win the competition? Well, the best singer doesn't always win the competition because sometimes the crowd just likes someone else more. Sometimes the crowd just has an affinity to another singer for whatever reason. She might be prettier. She might have a backstory. Her grandma might have died 2 weeks before the competition, and it was a dying wish that her granddaughter, you know, went on to win it. It could be anything. You know, it could be the song they chose to sing that resonates with more people for whatever reason. But X Factor Justice is justice that is more about the person and prejudicial evidence than it is about justice and unbiased evidence relating to the case. Because this wasn't an evidence-based trial. This wasn't like a murder where you talk about DNA and CCTV and you have witnesses and alibis. This was a man standing in the witness stand being cross-examined over his political beliefs and things he owned, things he'd said in private messages, things he had in his house. So he had a Hitler poster in his garage. He had a Third Reich eagle. His wife had two books written by Oswald Mosley. And they were some of the largest points of discussion in the whole trial. So the largest points of discussion were actually items that that man owns that had nothing whatsoever to do with the case, and a few decades ago wouldn't have even been mentioned in such a case, but now are mentioning cases because that's the change in the law. And so, just, you know, that's where we are. That's where we are.
So clearly he had to turn over all sorts of things, his private messages, I guess emails, things like that. He had to turn over all of this stuff, have his entire life and privacy invaded. Now, you had mentioned one of the stickers said White Lives Matter, and an obvious comparison is you had 4 years ago, you had Black Lives Matter riots, certainly all over America. I know there was a Black Lives Matter movement in Britain. I don't know how unlawful they became, but in America, there was massive arson and criminality associated with it. But I guess it was okay because their intent was racial justice. How about, I mean, was that brought out at all? Were there any comparisons made to, say, Black Lives Matter? There were
lots of comparisons made, but without being harsh to anybody. When you're in the witness stand and when you are debating against, you know, a high paid, you know, legal expert, barrister, it's not easy. And to do that, and it is a debate, it's a debate where you are basically fighting for your life if you lose, but the barrister stands to lose nothing. So ultimately, the barrister can throw whatever he wants at you, and you're really very limited in anything you can throw back. And at that point, it makes it very difficult for, you know, for normal people in that situation. And those sort of things did come up, but they were limited to some degree because Sam is a normal guy. Sam's not someone in, like myself, who you will see on the debating scene. You know, you don't see Sam on the kill stream debating Destiny or one of these, you know, vile liberal types. Sam's one of these guys that he's a leafleter. He's a guy that's out on the street. He's a guy that works with his hands. He's a normal guy who did very, very well and defended himself to the best of his ability. But once you start introducing this prejudicial evidence and everything you have said over the past 5 years has to be accounted for and explained in extreme detail, it makes it virtually impossible for a normal guy to come over well, unless he's got that X factor, unless he's got that thing and gets everyone smiling and laughing and humiliates the prosecutor. That's a tough thing to do. That's a tough thing to do. And I would say only sort of maybe 1-5% as outliers would be able to actually outwit a prosecutor in that manner. And because of this, it makes it a very, very difficult situation for normal people. And he did bring up good points. He brought up some very good points. But unfortunately, when he brought up those points, so I'll give you an example. He raised a point about Jewish power, and he said that Israel has an outsized influence on UK politics. And to prove this, he cited the Conservative and Labour Friends of Israel that pay huge numbers of people, councillors, MPs, and other, you know, important political, you know, activists or workers within, you know, the two main parties to go and take holidays in Israel. And they pay for all this. So basically, you've got a foreign power that is paying for our politicians, for our political class, to go and take free holidays in Israel, where they, you know, which are then where they are then essentially, you know, told, well, you know, we're the good guys. Are you going to support us? Here's a free holiday. Have a good time on us. Now, Sam said that this was disgraceful in court, and he said this is why, you know, that some of the stickers had mentioned, you know, Israeli influence on UK politics, and that this was a legitimate point to bring up. And, you know, there have been, you know, mainstream documentaries made on this issue, and he's certainly not, you know, speaking out of turn, but he's talking about a legitimate issue. And he did very well to say that. And the prosecutor then snaps back at him. Well, Mr. Melia, you know, what is it that gives you the right to complain about where our councillors take their holidays? You know, why does it matter to you where a Conservative holidays? You know, who do you think you are? Now, at that point, the response from myself would have been, well, I can tell you this now. If Conservative councillors were flying to Russia at the behest of Vladimir Putin and paid for by the Russian state, you'd all have a lot to say about it. But because it's councillors going to Israel, no one wants to talk about it. And if they do, they're called anti-Semitic. That is what my answer would have been. But the problem is, not everyone can just on the fly think of an answer like that off the cuff and be like, boom, that's it, that's what we're doing. You know, that isn't how most people work. Most people don't think like that, you know, and that's why it's very easy for these prosecutors who have months to prepare their case and months to get, you know, weasel worded statements prepared to stitch up normal people. And in the end, a normal person with legitimate concerns is painted, is wound up, their words are twisted against them, their private messages taken out of context, their, anything that they've said that backs up their case is discounted as a lie, just outright. And those people are then left in a position which makes it extremely, extremely difficult for them to ever overcome this sort of torrent of questions that paints them as a monster. Now, historically, you couldn't do that. Historically, if this case had been heard 20 or 30 years ago, not heard 20 or 30 years ago, because people had different attitudes back then, but if this had been heard today with the legal protections that were in place 20 to 30 years ago, what you would have ended up with was a trial where the jury would have only been presented with material that is actually relevant to the case. And because they were only being presented with material that was relevant to the case, they could be presented with material such as Sam's private messages relating to the stickers. But as every private message relating to a sticker made it painfully clear that people were to follow these rules and, you know, use them responsibly, at that point, how could they have done anything? Well, they couldn't. And you can see that all of these changes in the legal system have been carefully orchestrated to absolutely screw over normal, decent people who have legitimate concerns. And if they do voice those concerns, they now know that everything they will have privately said will be used against them. And the final thing I'll say before I'll throw it back to you is the following. It goes even further than what I'm saying now. And there's a lot more to this case. I made a very powerful video, a full presentation on the case, which is on my Odyssey, my BitChute and Rumble. And I did that on Friday night. And I did that because there's a lot more that can be just discussed in an hour long piece. But, and I lay everything out, I lay everything out in detail. But the reason it's worse than I've said so far is because not only can they go through things you've said, but they can go through things that people have said to you. So if, and this is a big if, somebody has sent you a private message that reads something that's a joke, let's say it's a racist joke, you know, they've sent you a racist joke, and you've written back and put, oh, ha, yeah, lol, you might think saying, oh, yeah, you know, lol, is nothing. But that was used in court against Sam. So when people had sent him commentary about certain things, and he had just replied with just a quick, yeah, lol, mate, that was actually used against him. So now in Britain, it's not just what you say, it's also almost what you haven't said. So because he didn't respond to people in the kind of manner that the court would have wanted him to, so like, please don't send me a joke like this ever again. I do not want a joke like this in my inbox. Now be gone with you. That was enough for them to say, well, why on this date at this time when this guy sent you what any normal person would clearly think was a racist joke, you replied, oh, lol, mate. You know, why didn't you, if you're not a racist, why didn't you say to him, oh, huh, please don't send me this kind of evil message anymore? And that's what they want you to do. So literally now in the UK, the most damaging legal precedent ever has been set, which will give the police the right to arrest anyone for legally produced and truthful content, and then go through that person's personal devices to see if they've ever laughed at a racist joke or made a racist comment or liked a racist meme. You know, they even went through tweets that he liked, you know, not tweets that he'd written, but tweets that he had liked. And at that point, you have to ask yourself, is this justice or is this an insane witch hunt that is being held for normal British people who just have a difference of opinion with the system in which we live?
And so, in essence, he is put in, well, we haven't gotten to his punishment yet, but he is being punished for not a crime he committed, but for intent, his intent. And so, and they were the judge of his intent. And, you know, it brings to mind when Donald Trump became president, and one of the first things he did is issue a ban on immigration from seven countries, I think, or six countries, seven countries that were Muslim countries. And it was completely within the red letter or black letter statute of the law, which said that the president can declare, it can shut down immigration from certain countries if he deems it a threat to national security. He was completely within his rights to do it, and yet it was struck down by really a very low court because his intent was racist. His intent was racist, and therefore he wasn't allowed to do it. And they were the judge of his intent, and so that's what we're seeing here is somebody else is judging what his intent was, and racism is illegal. So what's his punishment?
Well, we don't know. That is a question we have not the answer for yet, because he is scheduled for sentencing on the 1st of March. And before he is sentenced, there will be a pre-trial report prepared. So there will be a pre-trial report, and we will find out, you know, at that point, when the judge has read the pre-trial or the pre-sentencing, should I say, pre-sentencing report, what the judge chooses, you know, for his sentence. But what makes all this even more tragic is Sam's a lovely guy, and he's got another baby on the way. So his wife literally gives birth now in about 11 weeks, and he will likely miss the birth of his second child because he will be in prison. They estimate that he will get the estimation is it'll be around 3 years in jail.
Wow. That's and was he represented by
Yep. Okay. Yep. He had great representation. I was there in court. The man who represented him did an incredible job. It was no way, before anyone sort of saying like, oh, well, what about his representation? What was that? No, his representation was brilliant. His representation did a brilliant job. It was nothing to do with the failure of this was down to really the fact that the legal system is now this bizarre popularity contest. And it was nothing to do with his legal representative. And, you know, there are lots of people saying things online like, oh, well, did his legal representative, his legal team fluff it and all this? And no, they absolutely didn't. His legal team did not fluff it. His legal team were very, very good. They were very, very conscientious. You know, he had full input on how his trial was fought. And, you know, bearing that in mind, you know, there was no sort of failing on behalf of his legal team. They didn't let him down. Nobody cares. None of that.
とても綺麗ね横浜ブルーライト横浜あなたと二人幸せ
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Trial was fought, and you know, bearing that in mind, you know, there was no sort of failing on behalf of his legal team. They didn't let him down. Nobody, there was none of that.
I don't have a whole lot of experience with the court system, but I do remember from what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, the trial of Derek Chauvin, and I listened to the entire thing. I had projects going on where I was able to listen to it on a daily basis. And so I listened to the entire trial, and it was kind of amazing. You know, we all knew that George Floyd had this long criminal history. These things were not allowed to be introduced. Nothing, hardly anything from his past was allowed to be introduced. Yet, the prosecution was able to call in George Floyd's white girlfriend to say how, you know, romantic and wonderful and gentle he was, and what a, you know, sexy voice he had. Was that you scoffing? What was that?
Yeah, I just sorry. I just boggles your mind, doesn't it? So she comes in and she tells everyone that, you know, forget the fact he robbed a pregnant woman and held a knife to
They didn't have to forget the fact, because that couldn't be introduced in the first place.
Yeah,
that couldn't be introduced. They brought in George Floyd's, what was it, his younger brother? I think it was his younger brother, who, honestly, he was probably mentally retarded. I mean, by the strict definition, who was talking about all the wonderful phone conversations that he had with George Floyd. Oh yeah, what did you talk about? Well, we talked about how to use a clutch or how to shift gears on a car. Because I was learning to drive or something really, really weird. Now but you couldn't bring in all sorts of things about his past criminal history. One thing that was brought in that the prosecution or the defense managed to get out was that some years prior, there was some body cam footage, and part of the body cam footage was allowed where he was claiming not to be able to breathe when he was just being, when people were talking to him. But for the most part, it was just a complete travesty. And, whenever his Derek Chauvin's lawyer would try to bring things up, the judge would shut it down. And yet the prosecution was allowed to bring in all of these character witnesses for George Floyd. So, well, that's where we're at. We didn't get to talking about the southern border. The southern border and that the shenanigans going on there will be that's going to go on for a while. We'll be able to talk about it next week or in other shows. So anyway, thank you. And so
yeah, sorry we didn't get into anything. You know, sort of usually we talk about things that are quite US based, but I thought this was an important thing to actually talk about to raise awareness. And if you want to watch my full video on this, just hop on over to my Odyssey channel. It's up there, and people can actually listen to, you know, everything that went on in detail. And I go into a lot more detail during that video. So thank you. Thank you for having me on and talking about it, though.
Okay, thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.